Welcome to Sweden, Jimi Hendrix.
Hello.
And congratulations to your great success out here in Stockholm.
Thank you very much.
What about the stage, by the way?
Oh, yeah, well, it's almost played it yesterday, you know, who was at Tivoli Garden?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the PA system was very bad, and the audience didn't really help us too much, you know.
It's tough out there.
Yes, you know, they didn't help us too much, but I think it was all right later on. And the second job we did later on that night was very, very good.
I suppose you would feel much better to work indoor, like, for example, when I've been watching you at the Savile.
Oh, yeah, it's a little easier working indoor. You know, it's all right working outside if the PA system is, you know, all right, you know. If the amplifiers and everything is, you know, set up nice.
What about the effects of lightning and things you can use indoor in a place?
Oh, yes, it's better. Like, for instance, at the Savile, you know, we used... I had this gadget on the guitar that every time I hit a certain note, you know, the lights wouldn't go up. You know? Yeah.
But for the rest of it now, your plans for the future, you are going, for example, to the States. You are planning a big international
population. Yeah, we're going to the States around, I think we're going to leave about the 10th or the 12th of June. And, you know, we're going to play at the Monterey Pop Festival. And then we have about 4 days at the Fillmore Auditorium. And then, you know, you have this TV and all this other stuff in between.
That's for today and for the future. But how did you really get started?
Well, anyway, I was in the Army for about 13 months, you know, because I got tired of that. It was very boring. And so I pretended that I hurt my back, you know, and I really did break my ankle, so I got out like that, you know. And so I started playing around all over the South. You know, we had a band in Nashville, Tennessee. And I got tired of playing in that because, you know, they don't want to move anywhere. They just want to stay there. So I started traveling around. I went to New York and won first place in the Apollo Amateur Contest, you know, $25. So I stayed up there, starved up there for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then I got Isley Brothers asked, you know, the Isley Brothers,
yeah,
with the Twisting Shop, asked if I'd like to, you know, play with them. So I played with them for a while and got very bored, you know, because... You get very tired of playing behind other people all the time, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep to the routine of the act.
So then I quit, you know, I quit them in Nashville somewhere. And went with this guy who was on a tour with B.B. King, Jackie Wilson, and Sam Cooke, you know, and all these people, Chuck Jackson. So I played, I was playing guitar behind a lot of the acts on the tour. And then I got stranded in Kansas City because I missed the bus, you know. So I was in Kansas City, Missouri, and didn't have any money. Some, you know, this group came up and brought me back to Atlanta, Georgia, where I met Little Richard, and I started playing with him for a while.
How long about?
Oh, I guess I played with him for about 6 months, I guess. About 5 or 6 months. And I got tired with that, you know, played some shows with Ike and Tina Turner. Then I went back to New York and played with Kane Curtis and Joy D. You know, I was playing, but all the time I was playing behind these different groups. And I played with this little rhythm blues group named Curtis Knight and the Squires. And I made a few records, you know, arranged a few songs for him. And I just got tired, man, I just couldn't stand anymore. So I just went down to the Village and got my own little group together named the Rainflowers, you know.
Yeah.
And then we had two names, the Rainflowers and the Blue Flame, you know. Any one of those names was all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then Chess, you know, I was going with this girl, you know, I had this girlfriend from England that I met at one of the clubs in New York, and she told Chess about me, because Chess, you know, the Animals were playing in Central Park, so they came down and heard me, you know, and asked what I'd like to come over to England and start a group over here, over to England. I said, yeah, you know. So I come over to England and meet Mitch and Noel, you know, Noel Redding, the bass player, and Mitch with the drummer. You know, we put our own arrangement. Or, you know, we got it our own way and did it.
Actually, you just didn't pick up those two guys, I suppose. They played somewhere else before.
Yeah, Mitch Mitchell, yeah, he used to play with the Georgie Fame, the Blue Flames. And Noel Redding used to be in a group named the Loving Kind and the Burnettes. You know? And he used to play guitar until he came down. You know, he came down for the audition for the New Animals with his guitar, you know. And Chess asked him to play the bass. Tried playing the bass, you know, so he's been playing bass ever since, and it's worked out, you know, perfect. And Mitch, he's about the best out of about 20 drummers we heard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In England.
I suppose before you really recorded Hey Joe, you did a lot of club jobs in London.
No, we didn't do too much. You know, I couldn't work too much because I didn't have a work permit. So what they had to do was line up a lot of gigs. So when we did one of the first jobs we ever did was we had about 4 hours practice, and Johnny Halliday asked what we'd like to come to play at the Paris Olympia with him, and we did. After being together only about 4 days, and after having about 4 hours of practice, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you went there and.
Yeah, and so we came back, you know, we recorded Hey Joe around December. You know, but we couldn't work too much because of the, I had to get enough jobs to have a long work permit so I could stay in England longer.
And then things really started to happen, and really. You found another song. You didn't find it because you wrote it.
Yeah, all the other ones, you know, on the new LP and the last two records I wrote myself. You know, we write all our own stuff now.
How do you get the ideas of songs? Mm. For example, like Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Some people say it's a bit of Dylan in some of your lyrics.
Mm.
Well, if you think of Mary with the traffic lights turning blue. And,
Well,
that's right to compare you to Dylan in that.
Well, you know, whatever they want to do, you know, because I don't know who I seem like, you know, because I've been living with myself for about 21 years, so I don't know really, you know, so, I don't care who they compare me with, actually.
But when you write a line like that, for example,
you've got
deep meaning behind it, or is it just
Well, like the traffic lights turn to blue tomorrow, that means like tomorrow's everything's going to be, you know, blue. Blue means feeling bad, you know. In other words, like, first, if you do your everyday things, like go across the street or something like that, instead of the traffic lights being red and green, will this be blue? Because, you know, in your mind, yeah, because it's just not a story about a breakup, you know, just a girl and boy breaking up or so. And, you know, you just say one thing and, excuse me. Like you say something like that, but you mean, you know, you just mean something else, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no hidden meaning, it's just the way you say it. You just express the words.
What would you call it yourself?
I don't know, this is a slow song, that's what I call it.
A slow song.
Mm-hmm.
And
slow quiet.
You got an LP for release in Sweden here in about a week's time.
Yeah, I hope so. His name, Are You Experienced? And, you know, it has about 3 or 4 different moods. It has a little, you know, rock and roll. It has about 2 rock and roll songs, which you can call rock and roll, you know. And then it has, it has a blues. And it has a few freak out tunes, you know.
You're not playing your psychedelic music anymore.
Yeah, there's one or two in there. There's the one named Are You Experienced is one. You know, that's the name of the, there's a last track on the LP. It's like a, you know, imaginary free form song where you just use your mind, where you just imagine with your mind, you know. And this other song named Third Stone from the Sun, it's completely imaginable, you know. It's just about these cats coming down and taking over Earth. But then they find out they don't really see anything here that's worth taking, you know, except for chickens, you know.
And this thing about Transylvania and...
What do you mean, like vampires and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that isn't nothing like that. It's just like, you know, the Third Stone from the Sun, it lasts about 7 minutes. And it's instrumental on these guys coming from another planet, you know. And Third Stone from the Sun is Earth, you know. That's what it is. You know, they have Mercury, Venus, and then Earth. And observe Earth, you know, for a while. And they think that the smartest animal on the whole Earth is chickens, you know, hens. And so they just, you know, there's nothing else here to offer. They don't like the people so much, so they just blow it up at the end, you know. So you have all these different sounds. But all of them made from, there's nothing but a guitar, you know, bass and drums, and then slowed down voices, you know.
Tell us one thing, after watching you, for example, the sound for the introduction of Wild Thing, the plane crash and all what you describe it like, how do you really get that sound?
I just turn the amp up very loud, and it's mostly feedback, and the way you control the knobs. And the back, because I play a Fender Stratocaster guitar, you know, and you can take the back off, a little small plate, and you can tap the springs, there's little springs back there, and it makes these weird little sounds sometimes.
Got some other tricks as well, of course, and aren't you a bit fed up playing Like picking with your teeth and...
Well, you know, I do it just when I feel like it, like, you know. I don't consider myself that I have to do it, you know. Because sometimes we don't do it at all. It's just when I feel like doing it.
Because the audience might expect it from you, really.
Yeah, but, you know, as I try to get straight to them now, that it's best not to expect anything from us, you know. Mm. It's just best just to go on as it is, you know, because if you expect something, then you might not see it. Then quite naturally you're going to be disappointed, you know.
Some people say, for example, playing with your teeth, that you are also helping with your hands, your fingers,
oh, no,
like, at the same time.
No. It's like playing with your hands like this. You know, you have to move this finger in order to make the notes. Mm. So when I just, instead of picking it with my, you know, with my left hand, I just pick up my teeth, that's all, you know.
And also the guitar, it really seems like it was playing by itself at times. You just keep your...
Well, that's when you play with one hand.
Yeah, only one hand.